After Buzzers, you are watching the After Buzz After Show for Face Off Season 10, Episode 14, Sinister Showdown Part 2. Join us as we break down the episode for the final time this season. It's the finale. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, After Buzzer? Welcome to the finale for season 10 of Face Off Sinister Showdown Part 2. I am your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me, as always, is a full panel of awesomeness. To my left here.
Well, hello. You guys can find me at Alexis Torres at atorres890. That's me. Oh my god, light show!
Yeah!
I just had a moment where she was like to my left and I had to be like, yeah, that is her left.
Yeah. I'm Emma Fife. You can find me all over the internet wherever Emma Fifes are sold at Emma Fife.
And I'm Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
Yeah, you can. And you can find all of us on Twitter using that hashtag ABTVFaceOff. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. So,
I love that, like, get amped music.
It'll, this, like, I'm just gonna be honest, that will always make me think of Arrested Development, though.
Yes, yes. Doing one of these moments with all the cars and the knives and stuff. Oh, it makes me so happy.
It's really good. Oh.
This is my pump-up song right here, every single time.
I'm all about it. It's a good montage song, and there was a lot of good montage in this episode.
Yeah, so it's true.
It was pretty fitting. I liked
it. True.
Yeah,
I agree.
I do have to say, my favorite part of this episode, though, was the twist, because there's always a twist.
Always.
This time, it was a sweet twist.
Oh my gosh. It was really nice. Oh gosh.
It was like a cinnamon sugar twist.
What
have you done? Thinking about food.
I know, that sounds really good right now.
Yeah.
So the guys were all hanging out outside, Melissa, Rob, and Walter, talking about the feedback that they got from last episode from their directors for their screen and lighting test that they did, and just kind of talking about general things that which I kind of like that they have that little wrap up, but it's in a new way.
Yeah.
The guys hanging out. But then they go inside and the light floods behind them and we see dun 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 their family.
I know. I was very pleasantly surprised, yet also a little bit confused that they didn't add a third character.
Yeah.
Because, granted, that's what they did last season.
That's exactly
But at the same time, that almost justified this finale being two parts last season. Whereas, like, this season, it's like, at the beginning of this episode, we just got, like, some footage of them hanging out with their families. Granted, it was adorable. Melissa's son is the cutest little thing I've ever seen.
So adorable.
Yeah.
So cute.
Like, I want to put him in a basket and take
him
home with me.
I'm so
like,
excited that so he's cute. Going to Universal Orlando from that challenge.
I know.
And we got to see his little face.
I'm going to make some monsters.
Okay. He's basically just like, I get to see mom. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you have no idea, little kid. Like, as soon as you are old enough, you will be like, wow, my mom is the coolest of all the moms.
Yeah, true. True that.
So cool.
I got to see Walter with his wife. All
Oh my god, they were so adorable and romantic and just nuzzling, and it was adorable. I wanted more of that.
And Rob's parents, because we keep forgetting Rob is a baby.
He's a wee babe.
He's a very talented baby, so it's easy to forget.
Yeah. So let's put it this way. When they're having parties at bars, he's not old enough to join, so.
If you didn't know how old he was, just say it.
Aw.
He's so sad.
$100,000 buys you 0 pints of lager.
Yeah.
That'll make you Shirley Temples, though.
It could buy you a trip to Europe where you could then buy.
Accurate.
That is also very true.
Look at you. That's all you gotta do.
Big
is just
picture,
travel
Michelle.
Somewhere else.
Big picture.
Not Wisconsin. Wisconsin
for
has
a long time
to
be in prime
location. It has a weird law, but you can't drink between the ages of 18 and 21 in Wisconsin. Any other age, you're golden.
Wow.
Look it up. You're welcome.
Google it.
Wisconsin. I mean, just like I didn't know that back in the East Coast, you can't sell alcohol in grocery stores. That threw me off when I went there. I was like, what?
Yeah, we don't sell. That blew my mind when I came here.
Yes. I like went to the grocery. I went to CVS and I was like, "There's a bottle of liquor next to me. Somebody's made an error."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's how in Maine the laws are different, but like for the most part growing up, like because I'm from Connecticut where they think prohibition is still happening.
Wow. Wow.
So like you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday and all the liquor stores closed at 8.
That's exactly what it is.
Cut that out,
yep.
Man.
No, because like I was in Pennsylvania driving to a party and I was like, okay, so we're going to a store, and they're like, yeah, no, we have to go to this weird, it's kind of creepy. There's like two dudes who look like they're hicks. They're gonna give us alcohol. And I'm like,
did it feel like a horror movie?
Yeah, it did, because it was like that setting. Weird, scary. It was weird, scary lighting. It was two guys with mustaches, just like, hmm, hey.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah. So then,
could be alcohol.
When I started working for Missoula Children's Theater, which I did for 2 years after I graduated from college, and I was in Montana, where it's just like buy liquor whatever you want. And also at the time there was no open container law. It was like, whoa,
what? That's crazy.
It was magical.
So we're all taking a trip to Montana.
Yeah. I'm down.
Field trip.
The world is your oyster, Rob.
Go where you pay.
So this was completely shifting gears. A very sobering episode.
Oh, yeah.
It was one that you wish you had some liquor around. Just flip the table. Flip it. Because all of these movies were terrifying.
Guys, yeah. I'm not going to be able to sleep. Like, I'm actually not going to be able to sleep. I don't like horror movies, so this whole challenge was just like,
oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
Hate it.
I usually have, you know, decent control over my body reactions when watching something, but this, watching the scenes
you
in many movies,
I was like, fu.
Flailing.
Yep.
kicked at one point.
Yeah, there was like a pointed toe.
When I react, I do it 110%. That's all I'm saying.
I'm Michelle, I can kick.
Yeah, just like karate it. Moves.
Like, yeah. Pushing the screen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was like a mosh pit where you're like, no.
Yeah, this was an intense episode. Now, I will say, because they showed us the full short films that they created, that I think does kind of validate why this was split into two.
Because sure,
before we didn't get, you know, all of the movie. We've got like, you know, clips and stuff.
Yeah.
But I did like being able to see almost like a little mini face-off film fest.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because like we usually see our models acting in person, but it was kind of cool for them to have like lines.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it was
to
really
actually
cool.
Act like couples and go through the whole thing. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I was so excited for the makeup artists for that whole experience. It was a full-fledged movie set that they got to work on and participate on, and I was like, that looks so freaking magical.
When you see the star wagons, you know, this is legit. The double
so
G
good.
Wagons.
Yeah.
I was looking for the craft services table.
Man, that is the reason that everyone gets into film.
Yes, that's the only
craft
reason
services.
Why. Yep.
Because it's a lot better to be eating the snacks than to be eaten by demons in the shed.
You're correct. I just want cubes of cheese.
Yeah. Oh, never ending. You could give oil demons cubes of cheese and send them on their merry way.
Here, just one.
You look a little hangry.
Eat a Snickers. Eat a Snickers. Oil.
You become
oil demon.
Such an oil demon. Just have a Snickers and calm down. So they bring in Jason Blum to be one of the guest judges, which I do kind of wish that they would have had a little bit more of his feedback throughout instead of just the end.
Yeah.
Last episode, I liked having a little bit. And I know that they were focusing on the actual shooting and on the directors and everything, but I like when they really utilize their guests. And
I think some of it with Jason was like, I sort of understand the reason to not really involve him because, you know, he published this story in his book. And not that he wrote it or anything, but obviously, you know, when he was reading it, he had some sort of vision of it, thought it was scary enough that it should be in this short story collection. So I understand that they kept him out of it until the very end so that he was seeing three different visions of a single story.
Okay. That's
yeah,
he did say that when he watched it, he didn't actually imagine that they would be like
any of those. Yeah, exactly.
But all of them were better. So.
Yeah.
That's a good compliment to get from Jason Blum.
No, absolutely.
You don't get to hear it until it airs.
Yeah.
That's always kind of a bummer, too, is when they do like their, we're going to talk about you behind your back, but we'll show the whole world later.
Well, and especially like this episode, because it was all just nice things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, it would kind of be nice to hear that too, you know, when you're competing.
Like, but just imagine the camera cuts and they're like, okay, so here's what we said. Like, Mackenzie brings him over, sits him down, like, let me give you the 411.
Yeah.
We like you guys.
Yeah.
So the book that Emma was referencing is the Blumhouse Book of Nightmares, that the short story that Christopher Dunham wrote, Hell Hole. And it's really weird seeing the same story portrayed three different ways.
I know. Yeah. And with the roles reversed in some cases too, of who, you know, sort of succumbs to the demon attack and becomes possessed.
It's like
and
watching the Harry Potter films.
It's like, it is, though.
Sorry, my mind just like, it just became broken. I was just like,
what? Yeah.
Very, very distinct visions.
Yeah.
The only comment I was making.
Yep.
Each, you can tell, the Harry Potter movies, who
different
directed
directors.
One.
Yes.
Yep. So, but yeah, but it's all a cohesive thing. So this was pretty cool that we got so many different perspectives of the same source material, because before, it was very different monsters for very different stories.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Which I think adding the third character, I feel like it would have been too much for this one.
Yeah, I agree.
Unfortunately.
Well, and there wasn't within the confines of the actual story
a third character, really.
Yeah, I mean, there was a third character, but it was a person.
Make this doll.
Yeah. Listen, they should have had Robert make those dolls.
I was looking at both of those dolls, and I was like, oh, just Robert could have made this in about 20 seconds.
I know.
It would have been great. Yeah. And I do have to say, my one real complaint with this was we did not get a lot of feedback or screen time for the artists that were brought back for this one.
I agree.
Robert didn't speak at all.
Yeah.
We got to see the B-roll of him vacuum forming teeth.
There was one interview with Anna, and that was really
Johnny.
But even those were very not like, oh, we're glad to be back, or oh, this is interesting, or oh, this is the vision. It was, I'm using zinc oxide so that he won't sweat his makeup off.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Like, cool.
Good for you.
Yeah.
The end.
Good to know more about your personality.
Johnny. Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Which all of these characters are so, I say characters, but they're people, are just so dynamic. And they're such awesome artists and such awesome people that I'm like, okay, if this was going to be broken into two different parts, could we have some more time of them like talking?
No, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Mel, because I'm like, she should have been up there anyway.
I know.
I was surprised that she didn't even get a little bit of, like, something. I mean, we got to see her characteristics where she's like, you need help there? And, like,
that was so cute.
It was adorable.
And when she was like, I painted it a little muddy last time. I'm going to try not to do it this
time.
Yeah.
And that's
that was about it. Which was like, well, yeah, we imagine that you want it to be better.
Different.
Right.
And it's like, we got some footage of, like, Robert vacuforming the teeth and...
And then a close up of the bugs that they were like, Robert made these. And it's like, you just had to show us how good they were. And we already knew
because I completely forgot that they were on the makeup, to be honest.
I did too.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to see it, to be honest. So
in a good way.
No, that's what makes it creepier, is that you can't see them, and then they just kind of like subtly show up, and you're like, Hate it.
Now, I don't know. I had a lot of mixed feelings about this episode.
Same.
But we'll just dive right into each of the teams.
Yes.
Starting off with Melissa. She had probably not a ton of feedback for things that she needed to change last time.
Much.
And she ended up making really, really cool things.
Yeah.
The little divots in her demon that were bleeding the oil. Just leaking out. I thought hers was really impressive, and also moving that scar in the forehead was a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And she took all of the feedback from her director and made it even better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do love that they did focus on, and I wish some of the other directors had done this, in judging, when they were giving some feedback and they were saying how cool making the Cyclops not completely symmetrical.
Right, not a big orifice circle in the middle of his head.
Which makes sense, because the fact if it is something that either got ripped out or whatever, it's not going to heal correctly.
I totally agree, because it was a lack of an eye, actually, rather than an eye.
Exactly. Which is even more terrifying.
Yeah.
Right? But I love that John Wynn, her director, stood up and said to Jason Blum, like, that was actually completely her idea.
Yeah.
I told her to do something different, and she said, you know, and not that she went against what he wanted.
No,
it was
no.
She had an active discussion and was like, you know, that's been done. Let me try this.
Yeah.
Right.
And really highlighted how well she works with a director, how well she takes direction, but also incorporates her own skill set as an artist.
Yeah.
And is able to bring to the director even better ideas.
Which, totally.
Which really shows that she's just a really good makeup artist in general.
She is.
And she is ready.
Absolutely.
For, I mean, we already knew that, but I love how, like, if you threw it, like, how they did it today, or if you literally threw her in a film that was going to be happening, and it's going to be 6 months, and she had to do everything, like, I feel like she wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
She would just absolutely crush it. And she was really good about making sure that she designated set tasks, but also helped a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should have let Yvonne talk at all.
She
really didn't get to say anything. And I'm like, she's so talented. Like, I'm watching her do all this cool stuff. Let her say some words about
what she's doing. Especially because her application is so, so strong.
So exactly.
It's so good. I would have loved to hear from her, like, what she does to make her makeups, like, really look like they're part of a person's face.
Yeah, that would have been great.
She's incredible.
Yeah. Because that demon just, it didn't look like makeup.
It looked like a demon's face. Yeah, I mean, it was a situation of, you know, Melissa collaborated really well with this director. Mm-hmm. She collaborated really well with her team, and she clearly made something that the director was very, very happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she took the possession makeup just far enough.
Yeah.
Because the last time their complaint was it was too subtle, and this time around it was like, now I get it. I think it was one of those things where probably off camera it looked a lot more intense the first time around, and then they saw it on camera and they're like, nah, it really needs to be more.
Yeah. She took her lighting test as a lighting test.
Yeah.
And
fixed the character to the light.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is exactly what she was supposed to do.
And I agree with V, where at first it's kind of like, oh, it looks like he's hurt, injured, possessed. I can't really tell in the front. And then the shot of our wife
over the shoulder,
around, and seeing them poke out. I was like, okay, yeah, I can see. I agree that looks cooler with the wood sticking out there.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
And adding the sticks when there's a character called Mr. Sticks.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That works. I do have to say, though, that doll. Why?
Ooh. Yeah,
it was rough.
There were some odd editing things that happened in these films, and I was like, please don't hold this against the makeups, because the makeups look great.
Yeah,
but like the CGI fire. Like, why?
I didn't understand.
Did they not get a permit?
Yeah.
I agree with Michelle. It's like fire is free.
Fire is free.
You can just light stuff on fire.
They're like, we already had this doll. That's why it needed to be a Cyclops. Is because we wanted it to match the doll we already had, and we only had it in the budget to make one. And if you burn it, we can't do another take.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, they didn't have multiple dolls. They're like, no, we're only making one.
There's
no more monstrosities from here.
What?
Huh? No, I'm talking about the one, like, if they burned the real doll,
they
would need a backup doll for another shot.
Right.
I'm not talking about the two different dolls.
Gotcha,
the two.
But that's what I'm saying. I just think it would be really funny if someone's like, I'm not making another one. Well, I guess we'll use fake fire then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that, when it would just zoom in on that one pokey out googly eye.
Even when it was standing in the middle of the house where it was like, I'm evil. I'm like, no, you're not. You're adorable.
You're like a Sour Patch Kid.
I was going to say, it looked like a gingerbread man Sour Patch Kid hybrid with a Cyclops eyes.
And then God.
It was like literally just, like a little kid that like took all of its favorite candy and dropped it in the forest. And it was like, oh, I guess we'll just leave it there.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it, as much as I wish that it wouldn't have, I feel like it detracted from how good the makeup was.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it was, you know, a bad film. I don't think it was bad direction. I think just a lot of it was the way that certain way that things were cut.
Yeah. The editing was very strange.
It was like
Zack Snyder edited it. So I had to do it.
But you can tell that John Wynn is a great director. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because it's like that opening shot was really good, and the final shot with the blood splatter, and like, and that was all great. That was all great. It was just edited very strangely.
Yeah, it was weird.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, and sometimes the dramatic cuts can be terrifying. Like, they can add to the horror very well when they're done well. And I'm not saying this wasn't done well. I'm saying that this was, you know, a low budget project for a show.
It just seemed like they were trying to rush through it. And I was like, no, we want to know what happens. Like, take your time. That's what makes it scary.
Like, you made it a two-parter. I would like a 5 to 7 minute movie. Just like to be terrified.
At least like tops 3 minutes. Just something.
I did feel like they were trying to put a lot of story into a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, your brain trying to process all of that story doesn't have time to go, and look how incredible this makeup detail is.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're thinking, wait, what? Go.
We go back? Can we rewind? Okay, never mind. I guess we'll just continue.
I wasn't a fan of the doll. I feel like if they could have made their own doll, it would have been significantly more terrifying.
I'm not trying to like massively pick on this one. I just felt like the other two seemed like it was a little slower. We had more time to actually know, like, okay, this is happening. Okay, this is happening, and here's our monster. It was more like, oh, they're here at the house, and now the monster's here. Okay, and all right, here we go.
It could also be partly the order, too, is that the first time we saw the story.
That's true.
Was this one. By the time we get to...
Ooh. Hey, I got so excited. I just had a...
get rid of this water.
Who needs water?
Who needs
add
it?
Some more, you know, the little water effect for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the glassy shoulder. Table.
Yeah.
Tied it together. It all works. I just feel like this one, by the time we got to the last movie, we understood the story really well. And I just kind of wish that maybe the orders had been switched.
No, I completely agree with you.
Because
I would have liked to start with Rob, since it was looked like it was a little bit older, like it was like a period
piece. Actually, I think that they showed them sort of in reverse order of what was most contemporary versus most historical.
Which I kind of would have liked to see.
I would have liked to see
the other way around.
It was very American Horror Story, even in the font.
And yes.
Completely.
So, but I think Melissa definitely rocked it out.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Has all of everybody just all
the makeup was really great this week. I almost feel like it just came down to like objectively, like, what do you like? You know, subjectively rather, like, what do you guys like the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It was very... I am glad that I don't have to be a judge on this show. I know I like to sit behind the table and disagree with the judges sometimes, but if I actually had to sit and watch all of these amazing things and then go, okay, now pick the best, and go, split it.
Yeah.
Carpool in your feet.
Yeah, exactly. You get the trip and you get the money.
Yes.
Everybody wins!
And everyone gets a hug and a high five.
Yes.
Now, Walter had probably the least amount of feedback as far as what he needed to fix.
I was surprised. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. I thought we were already getting into the judging. Just kidding.
No. No, I'm talking about just going into this episode, knowing what he had to fix from what he had to change from the screen test. And he really didn't have anything. It was just, amp it up a little bit more, add some more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
that was it.
Was pretty much Walter.
I was like, I think this one was my favorite, mostly just because of how just detailed from literally the top of the head to the feet.
Just how much work he did. I mean, he sculpted a whole freaking chest piece and arm pieces.
Shoulders.
And exactly, because basically he didn't have to redo anything, so he just made a bunch more stuff. And it was awesome.
Which can either go either way. Sometimes you're like, oh, more might not be better.
No, I was worried too, but it was better.
It was so good.
Awesome.
And I mean, just the fact that they were like, hi, here's the biggest person who's ever been on Face Off. Like, he makes Johnny look short.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And then they're like, don't worry about wardrobe though. Just sculpt something to go on his entire body. Okay.
And I love that because it added to his height, too, that made him look 10 times bigger. And I was just like, this is crazy. Oh.
And Emma made a great point, too, about how secure the makeup was.
Yeah.
Him in his full demon makeup, picking people up and hugging people and running around and jumping.
And it wasn't until the end where you can kind of see, like, the back falling off. And I was like, is that his black suit? And he's like, no.
Little demon butt.
I want that in my life. Little demon butt.
Little demon butt.
That'll be your new name.
I'll take it.
I'm so excited.
So this one, I mean, I honestly think that this was... I'm surprised this didn't win.
This is my winner.
I totally agree with you.
I agree.
It just boils down to, ultimately, like, Walter did more than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it would be one thing if he had had makeup that they're like, yeah, I'm pretty happy with this. And then he proceeded to add all these bits and pieces that didn't really enhance what he had already done in any way, shape, or form. But that was simply not the case.
Exactly.
Everything else that he built was unbelievable. Yep. I mean, and he just added so much texture and detail and all the little bugs that Robert made. Yep. And it was, his the amount of work that went into that demon character is unreal.
I mean, the fact that even just like the little boils he had made all of us be like,
Yeah.
In the best way. Close-ups on them.
Oh, well, God, it's
so gross.
And I have to be honest, I liked his possessed makeup the most, too.
I agree.
Yeah.
It felt more real.
Mm-hmm. And that was the big thing, is they were saying, you know, that he was able to really create movement in a static character, which is very difficult to do.
Yep.
And on top of that, have two complete looks that look like they go together, but are also so separate and different that you can tell, you know, just right off the bat what stage and where it's going.
No, yes. I completely agree. And I think it's awesome because the fact that this is the one of the movies that we were kind of like, we were even yelling at our TV screen. Like, why would you let it speak? Why would you do that? And it was just, I don't know. I thought we were very interactive with Walter's whole piece.
Yes, I felt very engaged in this story, especially, you know, the bit where he discovers the, like, tree thing, the tree of Gondor. and then like brings it in and has, like, does like a translation thing on the internet, and I'm like, why would you do that? Come on. It did.
I just like, you never speak the Latin.
No, don't.
I feel like Walter should be brought on as like permanent makeup artist for Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yes,
he's already made the episode. It's done. Just use that. Just put it on air. It's perfect.
Yeah. And this was a better use of evil trees than the original film.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with you.
This one was...
I would love for him to do a remake. I think that would be great with Walter's makeup. Just for that.
Yeah.
So good.
It was so good. And just even last week when the director was like, I kind of want like a gourd, like earthy things. And I was like, you want a pumpkin to be scary.
possessed pumpkin head.
And then Walter made it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really creepy. And then even the subtitles were inaudible speaking for what the girl says, but she says, we're the seeds, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, especially when she gets yanked, too. Yeah. I'm like, what did she say?
That was really effective.
Oh my God, we're the seeds. That's so creepy. You're going in the ground.
Goodbye.
I will say, though, I also feel like where this was my favorite makeup and my favorite film, I think, of all of them, it was the only one that didn't have a doll. I'm just saying.
Oh, snaps.
It was a lot of branches.
It was my favorite makeup, but it wasn't my favorite movie, which is a very conflicting thing, I know. But we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I just think overall it was a really, really great use of all of his resources. Mm-hmm. It was perfect for the story. It was perfect for the movie. And the makeups were just spot on. I'm genuinely surprised that this one didn't take it.
Yeah. The only thing I will say is that this is one scenario wherein I sort of understand why the judges made the choices that they did, because all of the makeups in this finale were spectacular. They really were. And so the fact that they ended up taking Rob's entire body of work into consideration kind of made sense.
It does.
But I also felt like Walter has grown the most.
I totally agree with you. And
like
a vine. And I think, based on the fact that Melissa also had a very large number of wins, had Melissa done Walter's makeups, Melissa would have won.
No, you're correct. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Walter had just a few too few Ooh. Past victories.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
Because this is the thing, is that it's like, yes, Walter's makeups were my favorite, but it, but like not by a lot, you know, because I loved Melissa's makeup and I loved Rob's makeup, so I really did.
Nobody dropped the ball at all.
No, they really didn't.
Everything was great.
Yeah, and every single detail was just on point for all of them.
Yeah,
all cringeworthy, all turn away from the TV, but also really wanted to stare at it at the same time. Yeah,
I think and I loved how Ryan Spindle, the director, described it as how he was saying, you know, he took all of the textures and the ideas that I wanted, but he turned it into his own thing that was
terrifying.
Truly terrifying.
Yeah. Exactly.
And props to Walter. I mean, you know, if you don't win, you at least know that you get to go home making a look that everyone is saying, this is the coolest thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Evil Groot. Still a good feeling.
Evil Groot will always be in my brain.
Evil Groot.
Yeah. Evil Groot. Groot to great. So many groans. It just seems like a groan button.
No. Alexis. Get through it.
I'm assuming, Michelle, that your favorite movie was Rob's.
Yes.
So
I just yes.
Would you like to quantify that opinion?
Just that's it.
Just the way that it was shot and the lighting and the editing was the most powerful to me, I guess. It was the movie I'd probably watch first out of the three.
That makes sense.
And I loved that it tried to build in that passage of time in that timeline. Mm-hmm. With the 7 months later, I was like, okay, this feels like it's going somewhere. They've been doing something. It's building to something.
Yeah.
And just the dramatic cutaways, not with the actual frame itself, but just with the light. Like, you see the demon for a second, and then the light's gone, so you have to be paying attention. And those are always the jump scares that get me. It's just, like, it's there and it's not there, but, like, nothing has changed within the frame.
And I did like the pacing of this one
me
as
too.
Well. It was way better.
And I liked seeing the deterioration of the hero. You know, the guy who didn't end up getting possessed. It was the wife in this one that ended up getting possessed by the demon. But I really like those complicated horror stories where like the protagonist is like really the antagonist just as much as any antagonist is, because it's like you're seeing the negative effects of basically like being an oil, I don't know what.
Tycoon?
I don't really know.
But which is crazy. A much lesser known Sims game.
Sims Monster Oil Tycoon. I would still play that game though.
And I will say the doll in this one was better.
It was better. It was definitely better.
The fire was still the still CGI fire.
But button eyes creep me out. I've only ever seen Coraline once and I will never watch it again.
I completely agree. Instead of just the one.
The googly eye, two button eyes, freaky.
I really wanted the googly eye to move. I would have been like, I'm done.
I want it to just come out like a cuckoo clock.
That would actually be terrifying.
Me, and that would have been the better
like doll. Think about it, like a Jack in the Box, but like just the eye.
Oh my God, I would
feel like that would happen, and I'd be like, who thinks of that?
She does.
Like, well, I get scared.
And then you're like, oh, not a good idea. That's why I don't do those. So,
make note for next haunted house. Give children dolls with cuckoo eyes. Got it.
Nice. Yeah. So Rob's team, Caleb and Anna, they just really, really
team
brought
Koala.
They did. Okay, this is one thing.
That's all I wanted you to do.
I do have to say, they're yelling out Team Koala, and since I've seen on Facebook and Twitter, people are like, yeah, Rob, Team Koala. Where did this come from? This is the first time we've had any reference to Rob being a koala.
I have no idea.
Nope. Somebody should tweet us or something so that we can find out. I want to know the story of
you
this.
You got some explaining
the
to
origin
do.
Story of Team Koala, please and thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Because
does he look like a koala? Because
he's tiny. Because
he's
like
tiny
koala.
And cuddly.
I
adorable.
I don't know. I just want him to let his ponytail down again.
Oh my God! When that one time where he was working on something, and his hair was down. Yeah.
That flip.
I was like, please give me a L'Oreal commercial, quick. Toot sweet sister.
It's a koala with much better hair.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, I didn't understand Team Koala, but you know, hey, go Team Koala.
You do you. Team Koala.
Who was Team Badass? Was that Melissa?
Yeah.
Melissa was Team Badass.
And Walter was just Walter.
Walter was like, Team, we did a really, really good job.
Yeah.
Team Evil Groot. I will claim that.
Team Evil Groot. I like it.
Yeah.
Into it.
Yeah.
So they really just rocked this one out, though, especially adding the crying oil eyes to the mask.
Oh, genius.
So that it would have... And that's, I think, the best use of some sort of moving effect is on an actual movie. So it's like, okay, that makes sense, because we've seen on stage incorporating, you know, different things, and like Walter's wings, it didn't quite go the way that he wanted, but still had, you know, that cool moving... piece to it. I'm actually surprised that there wasn't more of this.
Yeah.
And even this one was such a subtle effect.
I was scared it wasn't going to read.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, with the lights swinging and everything.
And in the filming, they had clearly, you know, set it up on the demons, so I knew that was coming. And then in the movie, the final cut, when it happened to the girl,
I was like, I wasn't really ready for that.
I was not prepared.
And then her
voice was changed, and I was like, oh, you freaked me out.
I actually liked it without the voice change. I thought she was creepier with her own voice, where it was, like, really high up here.
That's true.
That was pretty creepy. But I did like that they incorporated that demonic voice. I was like, okay. I literally cannot. I need to change your pants.
I'm glad they showed us both, though, like, how they were filming it and then how they cut it. Like, exact...
No, it was great.
Like, shot pretty much.
I was going to be really upset if we didn't see the films.
If we didn't see the films...
That would be no point.
There would be no point.
No.
The fire would not be CGI. I would be lighting things. I'd be burning this mother down for real. I would have been very displeased. So I'm glad that they at least showed us how everything looks. And it's so cool seeing the models like get to...
I'm so proud of them. They did so... I mean, we're so used to seeing them act in person. And I thought that was really cool. But seeing it on film was fantastic.
Yeah, it was
so
really cool. Nice.
I love that. I love how they were all adorable little couples and stuff. It was cute.
And I do love how Rob had the most that he had to change.
Yeah.
And when he was even done, he was saying, you know, I this could go either way, because I also thought the makeup was great before the lighting test, and that was a disaster. So
true.
I do have to agree with what Michelle said when we were watching, was when he got rid of the horn nose. I think it made a better...
It really did. Yeah.
...than before.
Oh, it was terrifying.
And I thought his possession makeup was... right on the nose.
I had to
get it out there because I couldn't think of another word.
Cheer.
And that I really liked the fact that they kind of made it more subtle with her face. Yeah. I thought that was really good, because I was a little afraid of that because it did seem like her face was kind of bulging, but I think the director asked him to incorporate the demon's face into her face without it making it look feminine.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was cool getting Bryce's feedback on this one, too, since he had the most to say last episode about changing it. And he was super on board with it. Uh-huh. Just, like, 100% gung-ho about the way that it looked.
His energy level is just ridiculous in the best way.
Yeah, it's great.
I can't keep up.
I love all three of the directors.
They
I just want to like...
Seriously.
They are handsome
They're
fellows.
Very handsome. Very handsome.
I have to put it out there.
Yeah.
Good looking in front of and behind the camera.
Yes.
Everything looks great this episode.
We all thought it.
Had to be addressed.
It did. All right, now that we got the important stuff out of the way.
Yeah, I just absolutely love this, especially how, you know, they brought up how it looked like a Japanese horror ghost. It looked like something that was almost its own genre. And I like that it became such a different thing. I mean, obviously setting it at a different time period affected it, but just seeing how different this was while also staying true to the very, very identifiable demon forms.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, the crown of horns.
And apparently that was really all he wanted in the first place, because you know what this demon didn't have? Shovel hands.
This demon did not have shovel hands.
Emma, I'm so glad you pointed that out.
Thank you.
I forgot all about that.
I did.
Stupid shovel hands. I was so upset.
Oh, man.
Shovel hands.
I forgot about the shovel hands. And I feel like Rob intentionally forgot about the shovel hands.
That feels like a conscious decision.
I agree with you on that,
And I am okay with this. Because of what we've seen from Rob, I'm sure he was very polite and was like, well, let's take it this direction. But in his head, he's going, we're not doing any damn shovel hands.
That's not a thing. No, honey bunch is a no. It's not happening.
His director asked for a lot of changes.
But I'm glad that he made most of it. I was like, he still incorporated enough of it to look good, just without obviously the giant shovel hand sulp set.
Oh man, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I totally forgot about that. The shovel hands, and I'm very glad.
Wow.
And I feel like if you give your character shovel hands, like, what do you
it's
do?
It just becomes comical.
It's a comedy.
Yeah. Edward shovel hands.
I just think of that scene from Talladega Nights. I just expect the demon to be like, I'm here to take your soul. And also, I don't know what to do with my hands.
No, he would be named Trevor, not Edward. Yes. So he would be Trevor Shovelhands.
Trevor Shovelhands.
Oh, Trevor! Sitting there digging up. What are you doing?
This is our demon. He just plays in the backyard.
It's just like, oh, I'm a demon. Yes, Trevor, we know.
The demon of the sandbox.
Yes. Go back to your sandbox, Trevor. I am a demon. Yes, like, Trevor.
Do you know what happened to my doll? I think Dad accidentally CGI burned it. I'm sorry.
Dig up a new one with your shovel hands.
Make a new one.
But I think Anna really just hit the nail on the head when she was saying, you know, the look was awesome. It came together and it was terrifying. Amazing and gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as Rob said, those are all good words.
Yep.
Yes.
And they're all very accurate.
Yes.
I do have to laugh really hard at Neville making sure that his word was
Neville.
The most SAT worthy.
Neville. Oh my God, Neville. That was amazing.
Yes. If I could use one word to describe this, it would be efficacy.
And Rob just looks around like, Cole, what does that mean?
Like, is that a good thing or a bad thing, Neville? Like, I had shovel hand up or shovel hand down?
Like, in the middle. It's just one of these. It's like, No, it was funny because it was just reminding me of Scott Pilgrim. Was like, I don't know the meaning of the word. And just, bing, he really does it. But, yeah, it was so Neville of him to do that. I thought he was going to do something else. I was just why did you pick that word?
In case you were wondering, by the way, it is the capacity for producing a desired result or effect, or much more easy to say, effectiveness.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God.
Yeah. It's just a synonym for effectiveness.
He could have just said this makeup was effective.
This was a very effective makeup. It accomplished what you were looking for.
Neville, why?
He was like, I will take a paragraph of description and I will make all of you go back and read my books.
I really, really, really want a behind the scenes of him in a thesaurus going, what's a better word?
Yeah.
Found it.
Efficacy. I just choose to believe it was like a word of the day calendar, and he was like, woke up in his suit
holding up his suit pajamas,
and then like changes and puts on his glasses, like, efficacy. I will use that today.
I really want it to be a Sesame Street one, where it's like Cookie Monster who's like, word of the day.
E
like,
is for efficacy.
Exactly. It's like, must be a Monday.
Like, I don't know. Brought to you by the number one, because Rob was number one.
He did!
Yay!
Congratulations! A very well-deserved win.
It was.
This whole season, just constantly
very
crushing.
Strong.
Every single time.
Rocking it out.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, if Mel had to be cut from the episode that she was cut from when Rob was victorious, I'm glad he at least took it home.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yep.
So, props to Rob.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Team Koala.
Yay!
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
That means
we'll figure it out.
The first
I'm
and
still,
last
I'm
time.
Still waiting. I want a story. I need to know. Rob, tell me.
I liked it, though. I posted a video of a koala, and he wrote, that's me, and now it makes sense.
I'm telling you, I think that they just think he's adorable like a koala.
Probably. And like a koala, he knows how to hold on.
Maybe. I have
and
no
not
idea.
Let go. And he's good with trees.
I was going to say,
yeah,
I'm a good tree climber.
Sure. Great.
I know that.
So, do you guys have any final thoughts on this episode or on this season?
This was a great finale. Like, all the makeups were super duper polished and looked great on camera. And it was really cool to see these three artists really just, like, take leadership of being part of a team of makeup designers like you would on an actual film set. It was very cool.
I will agree wholeheartedly with that. I still think it could have been an hour and a half finale instead of
Agreed.
Making me wait a week. But
I agree with that.
I just this whole season was just full of awesome opportunities for them. And I do love that it ended with them getting real life experience on a set that they can like take with them into their business and wherever they decide to go. That was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you hit all the points. I really, as much as I really love Face Off when they do like, okay, now your character must dance this long-winded dance on stage and have people live watching. I do like the fact that it's better when it's real live stuff where it's sitting there like, hey, this is my vision. I need you to put it into a set form. And and I just thought it was great. And I can't wait for the next season, which is next year.
Yeah.
I'm not
next
ready.
Year, 2017.
I wasn't thinking, I was so used to it being like really close together at that point. So this is going to be tough, guys.
It's going to be a long break.
But I am glad that we know Face Off is coming back.
It is.
Yeah.
So we will all be back just not until 2017.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Gosh, a lot could change by then.
I was like, I don't know if we're going to look the same.
I don't know. Well, I imagine we'll probably look different depending on the episode as well.
True.
That's
true.
That and is every fair. Episode continuing after that.
Yeah.
Well, this has been an awesome season. It's been so awesome hanging out with you guys.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome hearing from you guys at home. Even though the season is over, we still want to hear from you guys.
Yes, please.
Sure to tweet at us. Use that hashtag ABTVFaceOff. And until next year, where can we keep up with you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen. Or if you happen to be in the Hollywood LA area, it's opening tomorrow night. The show that I'm assistant stage managing, Frazzled, is finally here. It's running for a month and a half at Theater of Note, which is a fantastic theater.
It's a good theater.
Look online, buy your tickets.
I'm Emma Fyfe. I can be found all over the internet at Emma Fyfe, which is my name, EMMAFYFFE. The last name is all F's, as in Frank, no S's, as in snake. I'm still on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. Transformers Robots in Disguise is still happening on Sundays, as well as Bob's Burgers. And Sailor Moon Crystal is back. We are on Mondays, so I'm around. You can find me here. Just tune in and follow me on Twitter.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to be grooving and moving at atorres890. Go ahead and check out my blogs, The Hump Day Lunch Hour, where I talk about things on my lunch hour on Wednesdays. Elena.
And I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And I'm always hanging out here too, so I'll tweet about it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this season, and we can't wait to hang out with you again next year.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
What's going on?
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.